Thank you. So, are you growing spiritually? I didn't do as good a job this morning of selecting scripture readers, so I'm a little spread out today. I'll ask Mr. Mata to help me out. Mike is after you, and then Carl. Got a lot of folks going in. I tell you, I had a hard time this week. My week was a little bit different. My mom had outpatient surgery on Tuesday, and so Janice and I went over to her home on Monday, and we did the surgery on Tuesday. She's doing well. On Wednesday, we came back to Conroe. We brought her with us, and then she was well enough. She went on home by herself on Friday. But it kind of threw my normal study pattern into chaos. And as a consequence, it was a little disjointed. Sometimes weeks are like that. Are you growing spiritually is similar to asking, are you productive? Are you living productively? You know, we spend a lot of time focused on being productive in our lives, at work, at school, at home. Wherever it is that you're spending a lot of your time, you're often challenged to be more and more productive in the way you do things. But too often, we focus on the wrong things. We're not focusing on being productive on the things that God wants us to be productive at. Suppose you receive and this is very close to my livelihood because I've been paced all my life, that is, to be productive. What if you received a report every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year, measuring your productivity? Not only your personal productivity, but your spiritual productivity. How would you measure up? How would you measure up? I mentioned this because it seems my life has always been around the month end. Every month, to make a number, to produce a certain amount of product, to produce a certain amount of money. My professional life has been very structured, and we often refer to it as a pace. Are you on pace? Because you have to deliver results. But that's not the right thing. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about your spiritual productivity. What is God's definition of a productive life? What is God's definition of a productive life? Bears fruit. Bear fruit, that's exactly right. Are there any other ideas? What is God's definition of a productive life? Well, I can see we're probably not going to go a lot further with that one. Elton? What's that? Love your neighbor. He listened to the sermon. This marker's pretty stout. I'm liable to gas you guys out. I'll switch to another one here. Love your neighbor, love God. Man, it still stinks. Can you smell it all the way back there? Well, you ought to try it right up here. I thought that one might write better. It just has an aroma to it. But these are exactly right. We need to be bearing fruit. And if you've been in the class, you should have figured that out by now. If you're visiting with us, go ahead. If you're visiting with us, we've been studying about fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Now, I don't know that I can summarize all that. But what I will say, and we've talked about it a lot, is we deal with this sinful nature. Okay? And as much as we'd like to think that we put it off immediately when we come up out of the water, we're always struggling with it. And it's kind of like peeling an onion. You peel a little bit at a time, but it seems to always be there. And the older you get, or maybe the right word is the more you mature in Christ, you get more effective at it. You are more productive at it, but you still have to deal with it. Excellent point. Yes, ma'am.
By the way, peeling onion often makes you cry.
And I think the lesson we're going to end there, in fact. So I'm not going to elaborate much. We're going to go through a process, and I prepared that lesson, and I got to deliver it, okay? But I think you will agree that bearing fruit is what we're talking about by being productive. We've even described bearing fruit, that is fruit of the Spirit, as part of our faith. It fits underneath our faith. It is part of our faith. The word fruit occurs approximately 60 times in the New Testament, depending on which version you're looking at, more or less. Just a point of trivia, the 56, I believe, is the NIV, and the 67 happens to be the King James Version. It's used as to mean a variety of things, literally fruit, figs, grapes, etc. But it also talks about, that is, the text, the New Testament talks about bearing biological fruit, that is children. It talks about bearing spiritual fruit. And that's what we want to be focused on. We started down a path studying about growing spiritually, and in the process we learned that part of growing is bearing fruit. God wants to see this kind of fruit in our lives. And that's what He calls a productive life. That's His definition of a productive life. This is a little review. God uses three tools to help us grow. The first one is His Word. Through Scripture, God teaches us to grow spiritually, teaches us how to live. If you're going to grow, you got to get in the Word. You got to read your Bibles. You got to study your Bibles. Secondly, when we come out of that baptism, we're given the free gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit comes into our lives to live. And He will be as involved as we will allow Him to be. And then thirdly, are the circumstances in our life. The things that affect us, like we were just discussing. The little things in life. Those circumstances that cause us to react or behave a certain way, to think a certain way. Those circumstances God allows. And if we have the right perspective about them, they will cause us to grow. He uses all these things, but the important point I want to leave you with is that you got to do your part. You must do your part. You have to invest time in reading and studying God's Word. You have to allow the Spirit to grow inside of you. You have to have the right perspective about the circumstances in your life. You do your part. God is going to give you that growth. It wouldn't be right if we didn't come back to our base text, John 15. This is where we started. I want to call your attention to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The proof that you are a disciple of Christ is that you do bear fruit." Furthermore, the bearing of that fruit, the producing of that fruit, is to God's glory. It's for His glory. Then verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last." God wants us to bear fruit, and He wants us to bear much fruit, spiritual fruit, fruit of the Spirit. So this brings us to something new. And we're going to talk about roots for a minute. Are any of you guys gardeners? No gardeners in here? Todd, you're not a gardener. You love to do it. Do you have a brown thumb like Janice? Only with rosemary. I know the story there. If you grow things, you understand that having a proper root system is important. Could you read, Mr. Mata?
But blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.
Okay. In this passage, verse 7, we are blessed if we trust in God, if we have confidence. We're talking about faithfulness. And it compares it, that is, the Spirit compares that confidence in the Lord to a likeness of a tree planted by a stream that has roots that go to the stream. And as a consequence, it's never affected by drought. It can overcome long dry spells and continue to bear fruit. If we want to be fruitful, we need to cultivate roots. Think about it. We need to cultivate spiritual roots. One reason we need roots is to make it through the tough times. How do you handle tough times or dry spells? How do you handle tough times? Any suggestions? This still is aromatic, isn't it? Sorry, guys. Any ideas? I don't ask hard questions.
Pray.
That's a good one. How do you handle tough times? Rely on, I'm just going to make that friends. And we'll include family in there. That's a good point. What else? Yes, ma'am. Faith in God, and He will take care of you. Yes, sir. You know, Flo's telling us that it's hard to do that. It's a lot easier said than done. For some reason, when we get in the heat of the battle, we forget to trust in God. You next. Ken. This shall pass. You know, we started our lesson, and we've come back to it. Let me finish this thought. Read positive info. You know, I'm just a man, and I cannot multitask like you women, okay? And I'll acknowledge that. But we started this class, and we've talked a lot about what we think. See, because what we think about affects how we feel, which affects how we behave. And those thoughts, like Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4, very important. Yes, Ryan. That's a great thought.
Each time you've gone through a trial, if you reflect back on what God brought you through, it gives you
That's a very good point. And I hadn't thought about it, but it's something we do. I do it in industry a lot. I mean, you go through a project or you go through a phase of business, anything in your life, it's important to reflect on it. There are both positive and negative reflections that need to be brought forth. And you need to think about them. I'll assure you that BP and its contractors are going to do a reflection. They are going to do a postmortem. They're going to try and figure out what they did right and what they did wrong. Yeah, Glenn. That's so true. Good comment. I'll get to you in just a second. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. So we are rooted in Christ Jesus. Carl. That's a good comment. He won't give us more than we can bear. Let's keep rolling here. The righteous cannot be uprooted. Proverbs 12 and 3 tells us that a man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. Think about it. The righteous cannot be uprooted. We are imputed righteousness through our faith in Christ Jesus, through obedience to the gospel. We have that same righteousness that is His. The righteous cannot be uprooted. I recall after Hurricane Ike going over to my mom's, and she lives over east of Baytown, closer to Beaumont, and that was the dirty side of the storm. And as we got closer and closer, I mean, as much as you saw trees and tree limbs down here, the devastation was even much, much more in that part of the country. And as we got closer and closer to our home, you know, the trees had just, they'd been uprooted. They were just laying over, rows of them, everywhere you look. And they were, the entire root ball had been pulled up. These trees had surface roots. When we got to our home, we found a lot of the same thing. The trees were just devastated. But the pine trees that were indigenous to that part of the country, they were still standing. Most of them, some of them had blown over, but most of them were still standing. If you know anything about these pine trees we have along the Gulf Coast, they have a taproot, and it goes down really deep. When I was a little boy, I used to take walks with my grandmother, and she'd always pull up those little pine trees out in the pasture, and she taught me to do the same thing because she didn't want the pasture to grow up with pine trees. And I always marveled that the taproot on a pine tree is one and a half, two, even three times longer than the tree is tall. It has a really deep root. So cultivating roots, spiritual roots, is very important in our lives. And we want to put down deep roots that won't run out of water, that will always be able to draw on that spiritual water and cause us to bear fruit, be able to bear fruit. Righteous people can stand the heat of a drought because they have roots. In a drought, resources become limited. And sometimes in life, you have to do without things which you normally depend on. How do you cultivate roots? What was that? Read God's Word and study. Read and study God's Word and act on it. That's exactly right. That's how you cultivate roots. Yeah. good point. I'll go back to my Hurricane Ike example. Some of those pine trees, although they weren't knocked over, all the needles were off of them. The wind had blown so hard it just stripped them of all the needles. And in fact, in some places, it actually parted the bark and the water got up underneath it, and many of those trees died. Well, some of them got the salt water, and yeah.
But water and minerals cannot penetrate a ground that is hardened. So oftentimes, if you'll take a little spade or something and you'll pulp, you'll break that apart or put little holes in there where the water and minerals can start penetrating. If we're hardened to the world or with the world, we're not going to...
Yeah. I think you're saying we need good soil, right? Well, we're going to talk about dirt in a minute. Yeah. Precisely. Yeah.
Another way of saying that is what the scripture said was depends on where your roots, what they go into. If they're into Jesus, Jesus is constant, is always there to give you support.
Yeah.
Just like a tree by the river knows that anybody has.
That's a good observation. We want to put our roots down by the stream of life, that is Jesus, so that we can gain that nourishment. Several hands up. The circumstances in our life play a large part in how we develop. And we need to view those circumstances positively. Those are those experiences that we draw on in life to make good decisions and live our lives and bear fruit, be productive. Yeah, Jill. It's a refuge, but it's important nourishment to our soul. Very good point. Read our Bibles. I got to get us moving again, okay? So how do you cultivate roots? I think you nailed that one. Psalms 1, 2 through 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Again, we have that same analogy. But verse 2 has to do with reading and studying God's Word. Roots are developed by reading and meditating on God's Word. As a consequence, you are able to bear fruit and never wither. Let's look at Luke. Now, I'll set this up. Mike, have you got this? Have you got the mic? Okay, let me set it up. You know this. This is about... the parable of the seeds, right? And this is Jesus' explanation of that passage. Mike, please read.
This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they cannot believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
Okay, thank you. Now, I got to interject here, Ken. The reason I throw this stuff up there is because I want to make sure everybody sees it. I also want to make sure everybody hears it. So that's the positive. Downside is that you can cover a lot more material when you do that. You can preach fast. You can teach fast. I don't know whether everybody that it's kind of like drinking from a fire hydrant. You get a little and a lot goes on the ground. Anyway, that's a sidetrack. Anyway, we already talked about putting down roots, and that's what he's talking about here in verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these two, they have no root. So they believe for a while, and then they fall away because of temptation. Four types of soil, right? One seed, four types of soil. There's the wayside, there's the rocky soil, there's the thorny soil, and there's the good dirt, okay? Verse 14 is what I want you to pay attention to. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So, if you want to grow, if you want to bear fruit, you need to cultivate roots and also eliminate weeds. Get rid of the weeds in your life. What are the weeds in your life? Do you have any? What are the weeds in your life? Now, it helps to have the passage open on your lap there, you see. So that's where having your Bible in class helps, because I've already flipped the slide and you can't refer to what was on the screen unless you remember. Worries. That's what Jesus said. What else? Man, I can't write that fast. Attitudes. What else? What are some of those weeds? Pleasures? That's right out of the text. What are pleasures? What's he referring to when he says pleasures of life? Well, think about what he says. Let me go ahead and pull it down for you. Fishing could be one of them. Golfing could be one of them too. You know, first thing that comes to my mind is busyness. Did I pick up the wrong marker again? I didn't smell it as badly. Cares, those are the worries. That's what we got up here, worries. And maybe your translation translates it exactly that way. These are the preoccupation with our everyday concerns. They're the things that bother us. They're the having to drive slower than you want to drive, having to deal with somebody you don't like. You don't have to like them. You got to love them. All right? Riches, that's the materialism. Okay? That's a fixation with making more money so you can buy more things. Always thinking about what you're going to acquire next. Be careful. Pleasures, I call that entertainment. These are the things apart from God that we pursue to bring joy in our lives. And I realize there could be, that could cross over into materialism, but I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I think, you know, we sit around and go, well, what are we going to do? What do you want to do? Okay? There are things you can invest your time in that help you bear fruit. You can invest your time in bearing fruit. Now, we all need a break. We need recreation, okay? And that's not what I'm talking about. I think what he's talking about is being consumed by it, being consumed by these things. They distract us from Christ. They take our eye off Jesus. They take our time. They take our money. They take our energy. They are a distraction. And when you're distracted, you're not bearing fruit. You're not producing fruit. Final suggestion is that we need to cooperate with God. And this brings us back to John 15. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So one way or the other, we're going to get whacked on. I think that was our conclusion several weeks ago. We're going to get whacked on. We will Do not be confused, though, by this, and make sure that you cooperate with God. We will all be pruned or cut off. He cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit, and he prunes the branches that are productive. We are to cooperate with God as he tends his garden. Sometimes circumstances are very, very difficult, and it's hard to take the proper perspective about those circumstances and understand that endurance is important. Faithfulness is important throughout those things.
I think one of the most important things that you've got to remember is that God's not going to give you anything that you can't handle. It's how you handle it.
Yeah, it's a very good point. The Lord won't give us more than we can bear. He won't give us anything we can handle. It's a matter of how we handle it. That's right. Cultivate roots. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, verses 10 through 13. And it's too bad Tyrone's not here. He's been trying to get me to get to this point all quarter. And I finally got here and he's not here. So, anyway, you be sure and tell him that, okay?
Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of a reminder.
Okay, thank you. What are the things that Peter is referring to in this passage? You remember? We've studied this part. What are those things? Say? Spiritual growth. He lays out all of these fruits of the Spirit, or many of them, and he says, add them to our faith. These are the qualities that he refers to in verses 5 and 7. So if you have your text open, you ought to refresh your mind. If we do them, we will never fall. He's making a promise in verse 10. In verse 11, he's making another promise. If we do them, we will receive a rich welcome into heaven. Verse 12, we are to be reminded of them continuously. This gets back to our point a little earlier. Remind one another about these fruits of the Spirit. Encourage one another to bear fruit. He says even further in verse 13, it is right to be reminded of them. It is right to remind each other. This is something he was passionate about. I mean, he goes on, if you read verse 14 and 15, it gets pretty complicated because he says even after he leaves this life, he's going to do everything he can to make sure that you're reminded of them. And he left that in a text for us to read. And I think that's what he was talking about. Brings us to the end here. And I got to pick up the pace because we already had the first bell, right? I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The very illustration we started with was about living, growing things. If you are growing, then you should be producing fruit. Plain and simple. In order to sustain our growth, cultivate roots, eliminate the weeds, and cooperate with God. Got that? Pretty simple, isn't it? A lot easier said than done because of this sinful nature we struggle with every day. And the very reason I think Peter was saying it's important to remind people about these things, is because we forget, because we get caught up in the heat of the battle, and we don't fall back to these fruits of the Spirit. We don't remember that we are to remind one another about these things, spiritual fruit, encourage one another. If we have these qualities, we will never fall. We will receive a rich welcome in heaven. And it wouldn't be right if I didn't leave you with some homework, right? For all you college kids, this is homework, all right? Luke 8:15. I wanted to come back to this because this is an interesting passage. This is from the text we looked at about the parable of the seed. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, pay attention to that last phrase. Keep it refers to keeping the word and bear fruit with patience. There's only one fruit of the Spirit in this passage. It's patience. And it would appear to me that it's an important part of bearing fruit. It's an enabler to bearing fruit. So I ask that you think about this passage this week, meditate on it, read it a couple of times. I'm not asking for a 10-hour study-thon. I'm just asking for a couple of times, take a break, and read this passage. Keep the word and bear fruit with patience. I want to thank you for your comments and attention. You've been great. I've enjoyed it. Y'all have a good week.